Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. God has been so good to us this spring, hasn't He? The Bible is correct. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's why everyone needs to know and love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again from above. Today we're going to be talking about receiving answers to prayer, and we're going to be looking in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face was like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color like to polished bronze, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned to me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him, and stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned unto me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then came there again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest not thou why I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. And I will show thee what thou hast noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Now this is a very exciting passage of scripture. This gives us insight into when people begin to pray and seek after God, whether it's for revelation, for direction, for whatever it is, how it stirs up the angelic realm. And that is very exciting, isn't it? We get to see the reality of the unseen realm. You know, God says his angels are ministering spirits sent to those that are about to inherit salvation. I believe every born-again believer has at least one angel assigned by God to that individual, and there may be more. I don't know. But it's exciting, isn't it, to know God has his holy angels who are there watching over us. Also, we see that the other side is real too. But now let's just kind of break this down. First of all, let's make this point that Daniel prayed. You've got needs. You've got things going on in your life. You've got issues. You need to pray. You need to seek after God. Prayer is our communion with God. God says in his words that we are to pray. Now, Daniel was an awesome man of prayer. In fact, let me go back here to chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did previously. In other words, that was a lifestyle for Daniel, three times a day, getting alone with God, seeking after God. Oh, I tell you, this country would be a completely different country if boys and girls, men and women, had such dedication and prayer in seeking God. Daniel was a man of prayer. And you know, at this passage I just read in chapter 6, remember, some wise men had gotten jealous of Daniel. So they got the king, they kind of tricked the king into making a decree that there should be no prayer to any other god but the king. Well, the king wasn't thinking when he did it because he really loved Daniel, but he signed the decree. He had a big head. He got full of pride. That'll get you in trouble every time, won't it? So these guys, these other wise men, knew Daniel would stick with the stuff and continue to pray. So Daniel heard about the decree, didn't change anything at all. He kept his windows open and three times prayed unto God. Now that's talking about being politically incorrect. The king said one thing, Daniel did what his God told him to do. It's time in the United States of America, because now good is being called evil and evil is being called good, that you listen to God, you obey him, and you tell anyone who has you, we ought to obey God rather than men. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed to pray and seek after God. Everyone in America should be praying and seeking after God. Yes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only true God. Any other God is just a demonic principality and power, basically Satan. Remember that. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that means the whole world. Amen. So you can confidently tell people about Jesus and the Holy Spirit who is in the world today. He is there to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to reveal Jesus Christ to people. So as you pray for them, as you witness, Holy Spirit conviction will come. They can repent of their sins and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and be born again from above. Isn't that exciting? So be bold and pray. Amen. We need to pray. Daniel was a man of prayer. And as you see, his prayers got answered. But God's not a respecter of prayer of persons. He'll answer your prayers also if you'll pray in the name of Jesus according to his word. Amen. So Daniel prayed. Well, you know, Jesus himself said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 18:1, and he taught, talking about Jesus, a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus himself said, Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Jesus said in John 14:14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So how do we pray? We pray to Father God in the name of his Son Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the triune God, the Trinity. He's involved in everything Christians do. Amen. And that's how you get saved. You say, well, I don't even know Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I want to get saved. Well, pray with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I'm repenting of my sins right now. Lord Jesus, wash me in your precious blood. I'm sorry. Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, welcome to the family of God. You just gave your heart to Jesus. Your sins have been washed in his blood, and you are now a child of God. You need to find you a good church. The Bible says once you get saved, you're to get baptized in water. Now you can take the Lord's Supper. You're to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. God will begin to reveal his purpose and plan for you. You can experience the Holy Spirit's fruit and gifts and be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, it's great. And I'm glad you're part of the family of God now. But let's get back to our message. Number one, Daniel prayed. Number two, and this is so exciting, God heard his prayers. Notice verse 12 here. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now I like that. The angel told Daniel, God heard you the first time you asked him about this certain thing. Did you know that? Now, it took 3 weeks for the answer to come, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But God heard him the very first time. Be encouraged. You know, Proverbs 15:3 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. The Bible teaches us that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He's that big a God. He's awesome, isn't he? He knows everything about us. You know, that revelation came to David, and it overwhelmed him. Let's go back here to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Here's this revelation God gave to David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Isn't that exciting? And it goes on and shares more. But God, David recognized God knew what he was thinking about. God knew when he stood up or when he sat down. Do you realize that? You know, Jesus even said, God recognizes when a sparrow falls to the ground. Jesus tells us God knows how many hairs are on our head. Wow. Don't think God is distant or far off. He loves you. He wants to have an intimate love relationship to you, but that only comes through his Son Jesus. That's why the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agreed in eternity past that Jesus would come down and bring redemption to mankind because of the fall in the garden. So it's through Jesus we can be brought back into fellowship with Father God through coming to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. But let me tell you, God is intimately acquainted with every aspect of your life. And he allows you to make good and bad choices. We need to be making good choices and decisions, don't we? So Daniel prayed. God heard. And notice here, the battle ensued. Now, Daniel didn't know this at the time. In fact, he was so urgent in this prayer, he prayed and fasted. That's a good thing. In fact, he did what we call a Daniel fast. He still ate some basic food, but he didn't eat any delicacies or extra stuff. He just ate the very bare minimum of regular foods. You know, when you're serious, sometimes God will lead you to fast and pray too, kind of chastening yourself before God. But you know, Daniel didn't know until God told him that the reason it took 3 weeks because there was a battle going on in the heavenlies. Do you realize that when you and I pray in the name of Jesus and call forth the will and purposes of God and believe him for great things, that stirs up the angelic realm? Now, the good side is working on our behalf to bring forth the answer, but then there's Satan and his fallen angels too that are trying to hinder the purposes of God. You know, that makes sense why sometimes it takes a while to get our prayers answered. There's a real spiritual warfare that goes on when people seek after God and pray in the name of Jesus. And this angel told about the warfare that was going on and that he was having to deal with. That's pretty exciting. You know, there's a gift called the discerning of spirits, where people actually do see the angelic realm as well as the demonic realm. I tell you, I pray that everyone would operate in that gift, because I tell you, when you recognize every time you go down the road there's an angel sitting next to you, you're going to act a lot differently and talk a lot differently when you recognize God's holy host is around you all the time, and recognize that when you do sin and go into demonic things, how a demon steps forth in your life and even can have demonic attachments. I tell you, people, if they really saw the unseen realm like God wants us to, you would live a lot more holy lives. And I think you'd be greatly encouraged also. So the battle ensued. Remember, Paul said, Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Well, you say, oh, this was just an Old Testament thing, the angels. Angels don't appear today and do things like that. Well, of course they do. Why do you think we have the Bible? All right, let's just go to the New Testament. Let's go here to Acts chapter 5. Okay, verse 17. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" Okay, there's God's holy angels again, freeing people out of jail. Don't you love that? Hey, in these wicked last times, you may get persecuted and harassed, but let me tell you, remember, God's holy angels can still deliver you and be used of God to protect you. That's exciting. Recognize that. Let's go here to Acts chapter 12, okay? We'll start verse 5. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him." Okay? They just killed James. Peter's now in prison. The church gets stirred up to pray and really begin to intercede for Peter. Let's see what happens. "And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so did he. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and knew not that it was true what was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second guard, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. What did God use? He stirred up the people to pray. They got serious in prayer. God sent an angel and broke Peter out of jail. Hey, God's angels are there watching over you. They're with you. Let me prove that to you. You like to see everything proved by the Bible, don't you? I'm glad. Hebrews 1:13-14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, talking about the angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Yeehaw! That's the children of God. That's you and I. We have holy angels that go with us, that are sent to protect us, to strengthen us, to watch over us, to protect us from harm. That's exciting. Know God's angelic host is with you when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. That's exciting, isn't it? And just like the angel brought Daniel the answer to his prayer, God can send angels to do that too. Now remember, there's two sides. There's the good angels and there's the evil angels. Sad to say, there are some deceiving angels that would come and tell you lies and deception things. So you have to have great discernment in these last days. In fact, there's some false religions based on experiences with angels that are from the pit of hell and taking all their followers to hell. And you know what they are. I don't even need to tell you. But it's sad. They're cults and they're isms. They're false religions. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. He's the creator. And only through Jesus do people get saved. And any other group that says anything else are taking themselves and their followers to hell. And that's sad. That's why we got to pray for them. That's why we got to love them. That's why we got to walk in the power of the Spirit and let them see the signs and wonders and things that are done in the name of Jesus Christ, and cast all those demons out of those suckers. Get them set free. Amen. So Daniel prayed. God heard. The battle ensued. Okay, I guess it was quite a battle. Okay, we see Gabriel, we see Michael here. Isn't that exciting? Amen. The angelic host. Remember, even the Bible seems to teach that probably up to a third of the angels fell with Lucifer, but that means there's two-thirds that are still good, powerful, holy angels who are watching over you and I. Amen? And remember, the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he's in the world. So never should we be in fear. In fact, that's what that angel said to Daniel. Fear not, be strong. I tell you, God's telling you that today. Fear not, be strong. Don't be intimidated by this world system. You keep praying, you keep sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and bringing people into the kingdom of God before it's too late. So Daniel prayed, God heard, battle ensued, and the answer came. But again, yes, it took 3 weeks. Are you encouraged to keep on praying, pressing in? You didn't realize that maybe when you started praying, there all of a sudden began angelic warfare in the heavenlies, trying to the evil side trying to prevent your prayers from coming to pass, and the angelic force trying to enforce and bring forth the answer and the victory. That's exciting, isn't it? Boy, it makes you want to pray, doesn't it? Makes you want to be open to the spirit realm and to be able to see both sides, both the angels and demons. And again, that's why I like that gift of discerning of spirits. We should covet earnestly the best gifts. And I tell you, in these last days, spiritual discernment is a must. Because anyone who says anything contrary to the Word of God, it's a lie, it's a deception, and it's from hell. And that's how you judge everything, according to the Word of God. And remember, God says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. It said about Jesus in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why the Bible is so exciting. Jesus is alive. He's the risen Savior. He still saves, heals, delivers, brings supernatural provision, protects us. The Bible says he's at the right hand of Father even right now interceding for you and I. Amen. That's Romans 8:31, verse 32. And it also tells us that God is for us. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus died for your sins? You and I deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus paid the price with his precious blood. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Remember, when a person receives Jesus, their sins are placed upon Jesus, and his righteousness is imputed to your account. You know, I can boldly say, I am the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have nothing to brag on other than Jesus. His righteousness was given to me when I got saved. Amen. And God declares me righteous based on what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I received it by faith. You see, salvation is available to all, but not everyone receives it. God's not going to violate your will. Now, I tell you, when people pray for you, the Holy Spirit will convict you. You'll know that you know that Jesus is real and alive and the Bible is true. The Holy Spirit does an awesome job of doing that. Amen. But you still have to make that decision to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I pray you did that today. Amen? So the answer came, and yes, God's purposes were accomplished. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it wonderful to know that God gives us revelation today of his will and purposes for our life, that he answered prayers, that he meets our every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? In fact, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You can talk to God about anything. He is listening. But there's also a warfare that's going on in the invisible realm. So keep pressing in. Don't give up. Trust God. Yes, he answers prayer. But there's sometimes a time period between the time we pray and the answer comes. You know, some prayers are answered quickly, and some seem to take a lot longer, don't they? Some things we pray, especially for people who are lost to get saved, sometimes we pray for years before they get saved. But don't give up. It's always too late to quit. You keep pressing into God. You fall in love with Jesus and walk in abiding intimacy with him day by day and moment by moment. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I'd say that's a pretty good reason to abide in Jesus. He's your best friend. He's your God. He's your Savior. Love him with all your heart. What did we talk about today? Receiving answered prayer. I pray you got the message. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.